Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
We will immediately appeal to the Fifth Circuit.
Because you need to know what people are saying.
General McChrystal is on his way here, and I am going to meet with him.
Secretary. Not insane. As a physician, I can attest to that. He's not psychotic. He doesn't have schizophrenia.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and where we go anywhere and everywhere to find it.
Well, she's got the best ass.
Would you shut up?
We do.
Come on. Hold on for a minute. We'll go anywhere to find it. Yeah, anyway, 877-876-PHIL is our number. What are you looking at, man?
Look at Gaga's ass.
Would you knock it off? Look at it, Lady Gaga's ass, is how you put it. Well, it is pretty...
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back to the program. And our website is philhendryshow.com. Philhendryshow.com. Go over and get a backstage pass. Among the many features there, we have live streaming video and audio of every show. You can download every show audio the next day. You can take part in commenting in our Phil feed. You can also... be guaranteed an email response from me when you email us over there at the website. And we have other things that are forthcoming, including our merchandise store, which we'll be gearing up here soon. We're going to, and I'm kind of excited about this, we are going to resurrect our Best Of CDs. And we have a lot of Best Of CDs that people, we have new fans, you know, and they're like not aware of the fact that this show's been around for 20 years. And we've been doing Best Of CDs since 1997.
Yeah, it's a guy said, what are you talking about? I said, he got a 97. The guy's like, you're a liar. I said, you're a liar. And then I forget about what happened after that.
Will you let me finish then? So we're going to make some of our Best Of CDs available at the website as well. So stick around. Head over to philhendryshow.com. Find out what's going on over there. 877-876-PHIL. Now, I'm sure you are aware that our young people enjoy their video games. There's no question as to that. And they like all kinds. One of the more popular areas of gaming are Call of Honor, Medal of Honor, Brothers in Arms. These are these video games that recreate famous events, right, Robert?
Yeah, you know, like Call of Duty, you can go and fight... Stalingrad.
Stalingrad, right. And you can do that, and then there's Guadalcanal, and...
Yeah, there's a lot of different battles that actually happen, and you can be a Jap if you want.
Will you not say that word, please?
Come on, man.
Sorry.
In any event, there's a lot of video games, and young kids are... I actually think, having played them with some of the young people in my family, I find them to be a lot of fun, and... dare I say it, and I'll use that word that probably we shouldn't, but we, you know, every now and again we do use educational. It can be because what you are essentially learning is the what happened in those battles. How did the combatants go about the waging of their this war, the battle between the two sides, the tactics, and so on and so forth. Lloyd Bonafide is with us. Mr. Bonafide is a retired heating and plumbing executive, as well as a Korean War veteran from Alhambra, California. Lloyd, how are you, sir?
Yes, sir.
How are you feeling tonight?
Yeah, I feel pretty good. Thank you for having me on your program, Mr. Hendry.
Thank you for joining us. And I know you are a grandfather, right?
Yes, I am.
And you're what is the name of your grandson?
His name is Joshua. He's 9 years of age, and he's my grandson, and we have a good time.
Now, what were you telling us before we went on the air about his video? And you know how kids are. They love these video games, huh?
Oh, yeah. They love to play the video, and my grandson plays a number of them.
What games does he play?
Well, as I told the young man that answers your telephone, that my grandson plays a game called Call of Duty. And I thought it was an interesting game because he was involved in the Chosin Reservoir. And
now that's Chosin Reservoir is something that you saw, correct?
Yes, sir, I did. And we evacuated the Marines out of there, and it was a victorious operation in that we were able to get our Marines out, and they were able to return and eventually drive the Koreans out of the southern end of the peninsula. But I saw him, and then he plays the World War II.
And all of these are aspects of the same game, right?
Yes, sir, you can, what I was able to find out from my daughter is that he can play any number of different battles, you know, and the children, the other kids can play against him.
Right. Now, in playing these games, you say that you were watching your grandson, and there's obviously something missing from the playing of video games when it comes to war.
Yes, sir, there is.
And what is that, sir?
Well, it is the obvious threat of being wounded, the obvious physical reality of the war. And that's when I went up to him, and he was sitting on the floor in front of the television set, and he didn't see Grandpa. I came up behind him, and I grabbed his left hand, and I bent his finger back as far as I could. And then I just let him go, and I kept walking into the kitchen. Now, I heard...
Now, I just want to be clear. You walked up behind your grandson.
Yes, sir.
And you grabbed his left hand and bent his finger back. Why?
Because I wanted to give him the experience of being wounded in battle, how unexpected it is. And this is what I told my daughter. Now, she was very upset with me because he started to cry, and I think he was... I personally think that he was making a bigger issue out of it than he should have. He was crying and not behaving very much like a young man that you would want a young man to behave like. And my daughter was saying to me that what I did was abusive, and I said to her, you know, you just hold it right there, because I'm her father, but no one says to me that I abused my grandson. No one. Now, that's just a fact. And I've had some of these monkeys try to say, you're being aggressive or this. None of these monkeys tells me this. I told my daughter...
Well, who are you talking about, these monkeys? Who are they?
Just people in the neighborhood. So I told my daughter, I said, no, I was not abusive to that child. You know I love my grandson. And she was able to understand after we sat down and talked about it. And the guy she married, she called him up, which was a mistake in my opinion, because I don't think he's frankly intelligent enough.
All right, look, I don't want to get into the realities of your daughter's marriage, but you bent which finger?
The middle finger. Now, we don't want to make a federal case out of this. The point that I was making with my grandson, and the point that I think a lot of veterans out there who've seen combat, when you see your grandchild playing one of these video games, and it's the World War II or the Korean War or what have you. I believe that introducing into that game some level of physical pain gives them an idea of what war is about. It can be, and I know a lot of this sounds radical, but I think it helps. If you even so much as pressing the hot tip of a match that just burned out, you press it against the back of their neck.
Well, is all of this designed to... Do you do this without them looking?
Yeah, exactly. You do it when they're not expecting it. Because I thought it would be interesting, okay, if these kids think they're so tough, And I, you know, I got to tell you, when I see these kids playing these World War II games, and they're talking to each other like they're real tough guys, it, and I'm sure veterans out there will understand, it kind of gets to me a little. It irritates me to hear them talking like they think they're John Wayne. Well, no, they're not. And that's when I went up to my grandson's hand and I bent the finger back. There was a little bit of anger, but I think it made it more realistic.
And now, hold on. I want to ask you this question, okay? This is very important.
Yes, sir.
You want your son, your...
My grandson.
Your grandson to know what it's like to be wounded in battle while he's playing this Call of Duty. You went up and you bent his finger back real fast and kept on walking. Now you just said that you were angry.
Well, that's understandable, though. No, don't make a federal case out of that. That's understandable.
Why is it understandable?
Because I told you, when you see a little 9-year-old sitting there like he thinks he's George Patton, it understandably irritates you. He's a 9-year-old kid and he thinks, you know, he's Audie Murphy. That's just, it's enough to frost anyone. So when I went over to him, I was thinking, so you think you're Audie Murphy? Let's see if you can take your finger getting bent back. And that's what I did. And I did not, no, don't think.
Well, it sounds to me like you did it with anger. And they always say never punish a child with anger.
No, I'm not punishing the child at all. I'm giving him a real time, they like to use this term, real time, wartime experience of pain.
Yeah, I know. But it sounded to me like you were dishing this pain out because you were irritated by the fact that this little 9-year-old, your grandson, thought he was some kind of a warrior.
Well, he's making all these noises, you know, like, yeah, let's get him, let's get him. Yeah, let's go. Like he thinks he's some kind of a big deal. And have you ever been in the military, Mr. Henry?
No, sir, I haven't.
Have you ever been in combat?
No, sir.
Well, then you don't know, you don't know the experience of it. You don't know what a veteran goes through when he sees a little 9-year-old kid pretending like he's a German or a Korean or something, and you want to go over to that kid and say, really, you want to know what it's really like? And you'll bend a finger back, or you'll just pinch them.
Okay, let me take a break here, Lloyd. Can you hang on?
I'm sorry?
Can you hang on, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
All right. 877-876-PHIL on the Phil Hendry Show with Lloyd Bonafide, who... I saw his grandson playing a video game called Call to Duty, a World War II video game, and decided that he wanted to teach his grandson that there's pain involved in warfare, so went up and bent the kid's fingers back real fast. Now, he also said that it irritates him to see his grandson sit there and think that he's George Patton. Now, I'm wondering if you guys see any benefit in this. Or his bending the fingers back and thinking the kid, you know, was there a little bit of anger involved in that? Is there a little bit of resentment involved in that? Is there something more than just wanting to teach his son about the reality of war? 877-876-PHIL. Your calls with Lloyd Bonafide coming up next. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil and
877-876-PHIL with us is Lloyd Bonafide, Mr. Bonafide, a Korean War veteran who joins us to talk about a grandson. You love your grandson, and I recognize that you were attempting to have him sort of experience a little more about warfare than just playing a video game. Now, you got into an argument with your daughter, is that right?
No, well, it was an argument because she thought I was being abusive when I bent his finger back. But I told her, and this was what I had mentioned to this young screen man, that when we went to the Walmart, and I'd been over there in the afternoon, and we saw these young people playing a World War II, on the big video machine, you know.
Where's this?
At Walmart.
All right.
And I said to them, you know, I said, I bet you think you're something special. And I went over and I pinched the back of this one young man's arm as hard as I could. And I said, how does that feel? And he said, that hurt. And I said, you're, and I used a word that I shouldn't have used. But I said, you're GD, you know the GD?
Yeah.
And I said, you're GD right. It hurts. It hurts and it keeps on hurting. It burns. And so how? So I bet you don't think you're Douglas MacArthur now, do you?
What did he say?
What's that?
What did the young man say?
He said, you're right, sir. I said, I'm looking at you two guys playing this game like you're a turkey through the corn. And I said, you look like a couple of fairies, and you should know what war is like.
Well, one of the things, and we're going to get to some phone calls here, you're talking to two kids you don't even know, and that's bound to get their parents maybe a little concerned, but bending your own grandson's finger back.
My daughter understood when I explained it to her that I was trying to get my only grandson to understand that war isn't sitting on a carpet in front of a TV set.
I understand, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move to a phone call. Rick in Mobile, Alabama. Go ahead, Rick. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I'm just talking about Lloyd here, what he's done. You know, I'm 33 years old, prior military. I have kids of my own who play those video games. And Lloyd, it almost, it seems like that this was out of frustration on your part. You seem like you were angry, and because he's acting like he's a tough guy playing this game, you're irritated over it. So you go and bend his finger backwards, one, out of your irritation, and then two, I can see your point trying to make a point to him saying war is pain, but come on, this is a child. He's 8 or 9 years old, and it's a video game. It's pretend. Let them think they're tough guys while they're playing the game. Now, if he's doing it in real life and walking up to somebody and that's a different story, but playing a video game, he's acting like a kid, he's acting like he's tough, and that's abuse, bending his finger back or pinching him.
Hold on for just a second, because you're saying what you're saying because you heard Mr. Hendry, and you want to agree with him, so Mr. Hendry gets your phone call on quicker.
Well, hold on. I didn't have any idea this man was going to agree with me.
Well, I think that I listen to the talk radio, and people will call up and agree with the host. Isn't that what you're doing, sir?
No, actually, I'm from Illinois originally. I'm driving on the highway, going through my radio stations, and I just happened to hear you talking about what you did to your grandson, and that's what caught my attention and why I started listening. I've never even heard this radio program.
You say that you've got a child that plays the games now.
Yep, I have a 6-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 6-year-old.
Okay, well, that's a lot of young people in your house, so you see them all playing, and I can tell you that you got a lot of young people, so I'll bet anything that when you see them playing Call of Duty, you want to say, boy, I bet you think you're something special. Well, you're not. You know, that doesn't ever enter your mind, huh?
If I could jump in here. Rick is saying that it probably, with an older kid, if kids are acting out, but a little tiny 9-year-old boy who's just playing, I mean, playing war, basically, is what he's doing.
Yeah, well, right. But it's not like playing war in the old days when you had a broomstick and that was a gun. Now, you've got, virtual reality.
Yeah, a video game.
9-year-old, right, but there's my 9-year-old grandson who suddenly thinks he's Mark Clark going up the boot of Italy. And where does he get off?
He's playing. He's acting he's playing a game and beating. He's beating the opposite team on the game, so he's excited. And he's like, oh, yeah,
right.
I'm Billy Cool Guy because I'm killing these guys in the World War II game. He's just acting, having fun. Now, if he was doing that in real life and going and kicking somebody in their shin because of this video game, that's a different story. But he's having fun with the game.
I'd have more respect for him. I'd have more respect for it. But you see, he's going, hey, yeah, let's kill the Krauts. Kill all this, kill the Krauts. Well, there's no real Krauts. It's
so
all.
Try to pinch him because of it. Or to,
so you walked up to your son. Yeah, you walked up to your grandson and bent his finger back.
Yeah, because he's all, I'm going to go and kill Krauts. He does, you guys don't get it.
I think we do, and this gentleman is former military. I appreciate it. Rick, I gotta take a break. Thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL with Lloyd Bonafide.
Phil Hendry.
You guys don't get it.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Back with Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran. You there, Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
Now, you were in combat in Korea, right?
Yes, I was, and I was with the United States Navy.
Now, what role? I know the Navy was there ferrying the Marines on and off and helping with the landing.
Yeah. And what you asking me if I saw combat? I saw the Marines engaged in, yes, and we covered their landing there. But if you're asking me, did I pick up a gun and shoot a Korean, I'll tell you this. I was so ready. And I was there. The difference is between me and my grandson is I was there ready to go, and my grandson, as much as he'd like to think that he's at Normandy and he's fighting his way through hedgerow country, he's sitting on a carpet. And I can't get it through to the kid.
Well, he's 9 years old.
You keep saying he's 9 years old, and I understand that he's 9 years old. Are you telling me that a nine-year-old doesn't know the difference between sitting on a carpet and crawling through someone else's guts on a beach?
And look, a nine-year-old boy should not know what it's like to crawl through someone else's guts on a beach. A nine-year-old child should only know what it is to imagine and to fantasize and to begin his life, his journey in life, with his imagination and with his toys.
Well, that's all very pretty, Mr. Hendry, and I'm sure that if Mr. Rogers was still around,
Well, there's no point in being a smartass.
I'm not being a smartass. I'm just saying he's my grandson, and I need him to understand that war is, you don't say, oh, hold on, stop the war for a minute. I want to go in and get some of these things that he eats that, it pisses me off.
He eats what?
He eats something out of a box. I don't know the name of it.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here. We have Mike in Atlanta. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. How you doing? I'm from Brooklyn, so I'm going to try and make this as quick as I can. First of all, I have a 16-year-old son, and I sit down and play the game with him. You know what I mean? And instead of cracking him in the back of the head to make him feel like what it feels like to be in war, we both say together, my God, dude, I have the utmost respect for World War II veterans. If I see you with a hat on, I talk to you, I want to know what happened, I watch it on HBO. But my son and I both say together that, man, thank God that we don't have to go through that. You understand what I'm saying? And I let him know, man.
What about Korea?
But Phil,
yes, sir.
What if I walked up to Grandpa and cracked him in the back of the head with a bat to let him know what it's like to live in Brooklyn, New York with gangs?
Hey,
you understand what I'm saying?
Let me tell you, you try that with me, and you'll pull back a bloody stump.
Oh, come on now.
I know, man.
You're going to crack me in the back of the head.
He's jealous, Phil. I think he's jealous.
Have you ever crawled through a beach?
Ability to use his imagination. Time has left him behind. He's stuck in a time warp, and he's feeling dishonored as a veteran. But listen, World War II was a long time ago, and we would not be here if it were not for you guys. But you can't make a nine-year-old kid.
There's only one problem with that. I wasn't in World War II. I was in Korea.
So you don't listen too good, do you?
Okay, we're talking. Yeah, Lloyd, we're talking about the you guys that were in the wars of Korea and all of them are Vietnam all vets. All of the guys, we honor all of our guys, but you got to let your little grandson, a 9-year old child.
Well, this man said that he's playing called to whatever it is with his 16-year old son. Why, these guys are all grown up.
Now, yeah, you know that you respect it, and we don't want our kids to get shot in the head by a German, a Japanese soldier, or an Afghani soldier, period.
But when I saw my 9-year-old, and I went over to him, and I said, I'll bet you think you're Dwight D. Eisenhower, don't you?
And no, why do you talk to a 9-year-old kid like that?
I tell you this, Pops. If I was your son-in-law and I came home and my wife told me you bit my son's finger back, then I would bend your head back.
you really think you're going to put your hands on me, huh, and not pull back two bloody steps?
I know that I'm never going to run into you in my life. But what I'm telling you, son, that there are some people who are going to sneak you at an arcade. If you walk up behind some stranger's son and pinch his arm, you're going to get knocked out.
You did that.
I was trying to
years old anymore. You're not a 20-year-old soldier. You got to be close to 75 or 80 by now. Do you think you can handle somebody in life today? Have you been outside your house lately?
Let me tell you what.
These 9-year-old boys are carrying AK-47s around. That's what I'm trying to keep my son from. So,
you know what?
You got to come to reality.
Those two guys, they thought they were the German 6th Army at Stalingrad, and I had to show them.
I could introduce you to some 13-year-olds that would scare you to death. Trust me.
No, I don't think so. The things I've seen, I take
those
13-year-olds and their AK-47s, I cram them all in the back of a truck, and I push it off a cliff.
Phil, I love your show, man.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Appreciate your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL.
What are you laughing at, Mr. Henry? Because this man was talking about gang members. Did you ever see that Gran Torino? You think those gangbangers scared Clint Eastman? He came out with a gun and he said, you know what? The next one of you guys sets foot on my property and you're not carrying a serving platter, there's going to be trouble.
I don't recall that quote at all.
Well, trust me.
The next one of you that sets foot on my property and you're not carrying a serving platter.
Yes, not. No, and you are carrying. Why would he shoot someone who's delivering food?
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Jenna in Manhattan Beach. Jenna, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil. Yeah, I feel for this gentleman talking about his grandson. I understand that it seems a lot of people seem to take war for granted these days, and too many people don't understand the pain of war. I understand what he's trying to teach his grandson, but I feel like these war games, I take care of my niece and nephews, and one of the little boys plays these games and the other one doesn't. And I feel like it's just modern-day cowboys and Indians, like when me and my brother were little.
I agree that
if he bent somebody's finger back, he should have bent the mom and dad's finger back for letting these kids play these games. And all he's teaching his grandson is how to be afraid of grandpa.
Why would I want to do that? I think the games are perfectly fine insofar as they teach young people about how did they crawl through the ditch and all that, but these kids think that they're, look at me, I'm going to go and roll my tank over top of a guy, and it doesn't make a noise. So that's why my son drove his tank over top of a German in this game, and I went, and I don't want to scare you, but this is what I did. I crept up behind him, and I went, just like that, you know?
Oh, God! Are you kidding?
Yeah.
What?
Why would you do that?
Because I wanted him to know what it sounds like when you roll over a guy's leg.
Oh, yep. Man!
These kids are playing make-believe, and when you do that, you're not teaching them about war. What you're teaching them is to be afraid of Grandpa. because they're too young. They don't understand. They don't understand the context of war. They're playing like cowboys and Indians, like we did when we were kids.
Yeah.
They don't understand that. So when you come up and you scare them, or if you come up and you hurt them, all they know is they better look over their shoulder for Grandpa because he might hurt me. They don't understand that you're trying to teach them about war.
Do you know what a bouncing Betty is? Do you know what a bouncing Betty is?
Do I know what a what?
A bouncing Betty. Do you know what that is?
A bouncing Betty? No, I do not.
Betty. Okay. It's a mine, and when you step on it, it goes up, it bounces up waist high and explodes, so it basically castrates, you know? And so my son, or my grandson, was playing...
Oh, God. So we're talking to a lady here.
No, but I'm trying to get her to understand.
That's horrible, but what you're teaching your grandson by hurting him and scaring him is you're teaching him to be afraid of you. Not about war, because he does not understand war, and you can't make him understand war.
If you hose, look, the Japanese hose the Marine front lines at Guadalcanal pretty good. Well, what we did do is we were able to get up that high grass. Now,
are you listening to what the lady is saying to you?
About war, yeah.
No, she's saying that when this little boy gets his finger bent back, or you pinch some kid on the arm, they're afraid of you. They're not afraid of war.
Hey,
He does not understand war. A little child cannot understand war or the horrors of war. Only you can do that, sir.
That's why I was saying when I explained to him what a bouncing Betty does, and he cried and ran to his mom... I went, boy, I'll make a man out of you if I got to break you in half.
Oh, come on. You can't possibly
be
serious.
You cannot make men out of nine-year-olds. You can only teach them that they're to be terrified of their family. You cannot make men out of nine-year-olds.
All right. You know what a potato masher is?
All right, never mind. Listen, thank you very much, Jenna, for your call.
Thank you.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go up to Steve here in Hudson, Colorado, listening to us on KTNI. Go ahead, Steve. Potato masher is a hand grenade, right?
Yes, sir.
We're talking about a nine-year-old child. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, how we doing? First of all, I'd like to thank you for your service. Second of all,
thank you very much.
You know, my own served in my dad and mom served in World War II, and they watched us, you know, play with toy soldiers out in the front yard, and at no time did they come up to us and pop us in the back of the head and told us this is what it's really like. Yes.
They screamed at you, so that's right. So they would let you know what it was like to be, for instance, if you turned a flamethrower on, in a pillbox.
Would you listen to the gentleman he's talking about when they were kids playing? Go on, Steve.
Yeah, we were kids playing out in the field with toy little plastic soldiers and making our own guns out of
sticks
and stuff like that. And at no time did my father or my uncles walk up to us and smack his back of the head and tell us, hey, this is what war is really like. And on top of that, those skills that we learned playing war out in the dirt and stuff when we were kids, they actually put us into a realistic position when we were older. I've served with the 1st Rangers, 75th Regiment in Grenada. I served in Syria and Lebanon. And those skills that we learned out on those fields as kids, they helped us. They helped us learn how to adapt.
Do you ever use a flamethrower? Because that's what they did to the Japanese, over on Okinawa.
I used an M78. I used an M78 thumper, and trust me, I've got some confirmed kills. I know what it's like. Trust me,
Japanese
and another thing that you
got
to realize
would
is
you
that
let
this
the
is a
stop
totally,
with the flamethrower
totally
story.
Time. This is a totally different time, and the skills that they're learning are high tech. My son right now is serving with the 101st Airborne Division, and he's operating a Predator right now. The only way that he had the ability to go into that field right now is to learn off of games.
Oh, there you go.
He's serving our country doing that.
That 101 Airborne, those are the guys that said nuts to that one German. And then my grandson goes,
My grandson and said, nuts.
And I never.
And I said, and you're
never,
not General McCullough.
I never once went up to my son and broke his arm or broke his finger and did any of that to him. And
what about,
and right
creep,
now,
what about creep
know,
up behind him and scream like when a tank goes over a guy's leg?
Oh, will you stop?
Oh, please. You know what?
You're talking to a veteran.
My son right now has got a CIB. He's got his Pathfinders. He's got his airborne, and he's got his airsoft. He has earned every bit of
his son is in the service. His son's an adult man now. All right, thank you very much, sir, for your call, and thanks, Steve, very, very much, sir. I appreciate it. Here is Eve. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Eve.
You're talking to a veteran, Mr. Hendry.
I appreciate that.
Thanks for doing the work that you do, but I had a couple of questions.
Thank you very much.
I'm really curious. You're welcome.
We used a flamethrower on some of those Chinese, too.
Would you let people finish?
I'm really concerned as a parent about I have a couple of concerns. The first one is, I think you said that you've never been shot or shot anyone, so I'm trying to understand how you're conveying pain to your grandson when you've not felt that pain yourself.
I'll tell you why. When I stared at that Chinese soldier and he stared back, he knew what I was going to do to him if I got off the ship and got over there.
But you didn't do it. Secondly, as a grandfather, when you did that, did you explain to that child why you had done it?
You know, ma'am, when I listen to you, there's a laugh in your voice. I can hear it. You're like, well, you explained it to that child. You think I'm funny, don't you?
No, sir, I'm not.
Don't, would you listen to...
No, I smile when I speak because I'm a kind person. But as a mother, I don't understand the logic behind what you have done. One, you did it and you did not tell the child why. Two, you're inflicting pain on him to show him the pain of war that you yourself have not felt. I thank you
for
your contribution, but you did not get shot yourself. So why are you trying to inflict pain on this 9-year-old child?
I want him to know what war is. I'll give you an example, Eve, of what I'm saying. I had my daughter. I went out to the garage. Now, this is very difficult to describe, but I had my daughter back her SUV out over my leg. And I told my grandson...
What?
Why would you do that?
You heard what I said, right?
Yeah, you had your daughter back her SUV over your leg.
Yes, and I told my grandson, watch how I can suck it up.
Well, you had your daughter drive the car over your leg to show your grandson how that feels. That in itself
how to,
is a
no, how to suck it up. Not how it feels, how to suck it up.
How to suck it up.
Yes, ma'am.
That in itself is a form of psychological abuse, and the injury, what if you're broken
his
finger?
Oh, why don't you stop with that? You modern mothers.
What if you have broken his finger? What if you have broken his finger? You're making
Who?
Him a
My
point
grandson?
Of view like this. Yes, you could have broken his finger. And why would you want him to see his mom run over your leg so you can suck it up? That's abuse.
No,
that's
I was showing him how to suck it up. You know, ma'am, you modern mothers with all your abuse, you watch way too much of that View. You know that show that they
I don't watch the View. I have raised two sons to be 20 years old, in college, never in jail, never in a fight. Very successful young men.
Well,
very,
I'm very
successful
glad,
young men.
Thank you for, and on behalf of the rest of society, thank you. But I must say that their mother is a little bit of a softy. And I think
I didn't raise two young men and make softies and be a soft parent. No way.
I didn't say it. You should have had someone drive a car over your foot so your sons would know how to suck it up.
Wait a minute. Wait. What did you say?
Why did you not have someone drive a car over your foot instead of criticize me?
I would never
do
that. Why would I deliberately maim myself? That's crazy.
No, not maim yourself. No. That's just what people think. But
that's
your
crazy.
Sons would learn.
That's desensitized. We already have a problem with kids being desensitized enough as it is, but now you're going to say, run over something and suck it up. That makes them even worse. Oh, let me just shoot you and see if you can suck it up. That's crazy.
No, I didn't say. Now, that's insane. I meant to have an automobile drive over your hand.
Oh, come on.
It's the same thing. You know what? I just wanted to convey my concerns.
Thank you, Eve, very much.
I'm not going to be well received, but I do appreciate the time, Phil.
Appreciate very much your call. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That's Eve, 877-876-PHIL.
No, wait. What? Did you hang up on the lady?
No, she had to go.
I asked her, why didn't she have someone drive over her hand?
Yeah, so her sons could learn how to suck it up. She right, get out of here.
Why'd you hang up on a guy? I want to find out the answer to that.
The answer to what?
How do you drive over a hand?
Not drive over a hand, you idiot. How you want to...
Oh, yeah. How do you withstand the pain?
Oh, you know, I tell you what I'll do, bud. After we get off the air, come on outside with me as I'm splitting. You put your hand down there, and I'll back over it.
You don't have no SUV.
It doesn't make any difference at all whether I got an SUV. 877-876-PHIL. Six jobs that pay six figures that don't require a degree. Bud, next on The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Our show is produced by Jason Rantz, technical direction Ralph Rodriguez. We had Dan Northcraft, who was screening tonight. Remember, philhendryshow.com. Pick up that backstage pass and watch the live streaming video and hear the live streaming audio.
Phil Hendry.
You're nuts.